What happens when naming something dark doesn't banish it, but makes it evolve? Can a haunting follow you from home to work, into public places, and even into the lives of the people closest to you? When protective objects begin breaking, disappearing, failing, is that a warning or a challenge? How do you explain hearing your name whispered when there's no one there to speak it? And what if the most terrifying part of a paranormal gift isn't seeing the dead, but realizing something else can see you back? As always, we will never promise to answer any of those questions, but we will do our best to look into them as we discuss this one-of-a-kind episode, because only once before in the history of the show have we had a third experience all tied in with the one person. If you recall the first one, that was Kinnar, with his amazing and terrifying Indian experiences. But for the second time in the show's history, we have Alex returning for the third time, who, for his sake, I hope, is finishing his trilogy of darkness. As for only the second time ever on the show, we return for a third time to somebody's ongoing experiences and hopefully closure on this week's Dark Paranormal.
Live from Liverpool, The Dark Paranormal with Kevin Eustace.
Hello everyone and welcome to The Dark Paranormal Season 24 Episode 3. And 3 being a recurring theme. Because today we're going to hear the third part, for the second time only in terms of trilogies, of Alex's experiences. Now, you may remember, we first heard from Alex on the 26th of April 2024. It was one of the most emotionally charged episodes ever. The original, Demon on My Shoulder. We then heard part 2, Demon on My Shoulder, The Return, which was aired on the 26th of May last year, which found Alex discovering more about exactly what was affecting him. Namely, a group of entities he discovered were named the Alcea. An episode which polarized listeners, but didn't devalue Alex's experiences. And today, hopefully for Alex, we may conclude this trilogy. Though conclude should have an asterisk, as within our back and forth with Alex, he shared a shorter real-time encounter, sadly too short for a minisode, but we'll find an audience on our Dark Bites episode for this week. Which leads me nicely into a huge thank you, as usual, to our wonderful Patreons for allowing this show to keep going. This is an independent show that is fighting way above its weight, thanks to you guys. We were recently positioned number 6, as you guys know, by Podranker in the podcasts of the paranormal you should listen to this year. And this independent show sat at number 6, whilst BBC-produced shows sat at number 16, 17, etc. And that punching above our weight is down to you. Now, the link to join our Patreon is in the show notes, or you can go to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. And there are 3 tiers. One will give you no adverts, one is early releases and no adverts, and the other is early releases, no adverts, and 2 additional shows each and every week, one being the aforementioned Dark Bites, and also a brand new show, which is also in video format, called After Dark, where I have an unscripted review of what we've discussed that week. And if you're not in a position to support the show financially, then please do not, not in this current climate. But what you can do to support this show, and this goes for anyone listening, is simply hit subscribe. Hit subscribe wherever you listen, and that helps the show in a way that I don't even understand, but I know it makes a massive difference. And of course, in the show notes is also the link to send your experiences of any size through to the show. Now, please, lower the lights, make yourself comfortable, and most importantly of all, leave your disbelief at the door as we hear the demonic trinity, a culmination. Hi, Cav. I've sent two submissions before this one. The first covered years of encounters, and the second picked up where that left off. This is obviously the third, and if I'm honest, writing it feels different to the others. It feels heavier. When my first story aired, I did something I hadn't done before. I gave the entities a name. I called them the Alcea. I'd come across the idea that naming something malevolent could maybe diminish it somehow, strip away some of its hold. I wasn't certain I believed that, but I tried it anyway. And for a while, it did feel like their grip had lessened. Not gone, but lessened. What I wasn't prepared for was what come next. Because once I opened the door, once I accepted this was real and stopped trying to explain it away, things didn't slow down, they accelerated. I don't know what I would class my abilities as. I just go with what comes to me. But I've come to understand that embracing a connection like this means accepting things you didn't anticipate. In hindsight, that feels obvious. At the time, it wasn't. I work in residential childcare. It's an incredibly rewarding role. Yes, challenging at times, but I genuinely love what I do. Supporting young people and working alongside a team I trust completely. Overnight sleep-ins are part of the job. The house is set up carefully, bedroom door alarms, safety protocols, everything in place to keep the young people secure through the night. On the 20th of March, the house had been settled for over an hour. Everyone was in their rooms. I was in the sleep room finishing paperwork, winding down for the night. Then I hear footsteps on the stairs, heavy ones. Each step deliberate, pressing down on the old wood, the creak rolling through the quiet of the building at night. I checked my watch, it was just after midnight. The door alarms hadn't sounded, which meant no young person had left their room to make those footsteps. My first thought was my colleague. She must have come down for something. But the weight of those footsteps didn't fit. She's slight, barely 5'4". What I was hearing had a density to it that didn't belong to her. I stayed still. I listened as the steps reached the hallway tiles below and then stopped. The silence that followed wasn't ordinary. It pressed against me. The kind of silence that makes you aware of your own breathing. I waited for a knock at my door. Nothing came. Then the office door slammed. Not drifted shut, slammed. The kind of impact that makes your chest jump. That door has a slow close mechanism fitted specifically to prevent it from doing that. It hadn't failed once in years. The room turned cold almost immediately. Not the slow drift of a drop temperature, a sudden, unmistakable shift. I could feel panic starting to build. My mind went straight to the Alcea. Was this them trying to reclaim some kind of hold? I didn't want to feel powerless in that moment, so I sat up, and I said it out loud into the dark. You're not welcome here. This is not a place for you. leave. I don't know why I said it. It came out before I thought about it. But the atmosphere changed. The pressure eased. The normal sounds of the house crept back in. The low hum of the fridge, the distant traffic, the building settling. Whatever it had been, it had retreated. Although I didn't sleep well, and I didn't mention it to my colleague the next morning, not straight away. But it slipped out over tea. I asked if she'd come downstairs during the night, maybe gone into the office, forgotten something. She looked at me, confused. She'd been asleep the moment her head hit the pillow, and she hadn't left her room. She paused, then half-jokingly suggested maybe it was a ghost. We both laughed, the way you laugh when a joke doesn't quite land, and both of you know it. A few days later, I had a hospital appointment, Bournemouth Eye Hospital, for my keratoconus, a condition that affects the cornea that I manage with ongoing treatment. My pupils needed dilating, and my vision would be off for hours afterwards, and Amy was collecting me. The appointment itself was frustrating. Long waits, equipment issues, the usual. But things changed once I was outside waiting for Amy. Someone called my name. I turned, no one there. I scanned the car park, certain I'd simply misheard someone calling to another person. Then again, closer. Using the shortened version only people who actually know me use. I moved. I positioned myself deliberately in a corner between two solid walls. I needed sight lines. I needed to know that if it happened again, I could see exactly where it was coming from. Then came a few moments of nothing. I started to talk myself down. Coincidence. Misheard. I've misheard someone else named Alex nearby. And then a whisper arrived directly into my ear from the wall behind me. One word. Here. Sharp, close, completely clear. I lurched away from the wall onto the path. An older man on a nearby bench looked at me like I'd lost my mind. I apologized to him and I tried to compose myself. When Amy pulled in and I got into the car, she saw immediately that something was clearly wrong. And I told her. I said I'd heard my name being called. I told her about the whisper. She listened carefully, then offered what her logical side could reach for. A window above. Maybe an open ward. Another patient calling out. I nodded along with each one. She pointed upwards and said it could have easily carried down. But I knew that window she was pointing to. I'd been in that part of the building before, helping my mum with her own appointments. It wasn't in regular use. It was more storage than anything else. But I agreed with her in the moment. Although, deep down, I knew what I'd heard. Okay, guys, I need to talk to you about money. Why? Well, it's high on my agenda at the moment as I'm looking to move not just house, but country. So I have a money goal that I'm really striving to achieve. And let's just say, to say I've got some way to go is an understatement. But I'm trying not to fixate on where my money is now, because so many people are focused on where their money is today. Acorns is the financial wellness app that cares about where your money's going tomorrow. And something I think is wonderful that Acorns have is the Acorns Potential Screen, so you can find out what your money is capable of. You guys know I've worked with Acorns for a while, and the reason I love working with them is because they take away the scare factor from investing. But in reality, investment and investing should mean the same for one person as it does for the next. Acorns is a smart way to give your money a chance to grow. It's easy. You can sign up in minutes and start automatically investing your spare money, even if all you've got is spare change. Acorns is an all-in-one. No more finance apps cluttering up your phone. With Acorns, you can invest, save, and give your money a chance to grow in one trusted place. Sign up now and Acorns will boost your new account with a $5 bonus investment. Join the over 14 million all-time customers who've already saved and invested over $27 billion with Acorns.
Paid on client endorsements. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 2 compensation provided. Potential subject to various factors such as customers' accounts, age, and investment settings. Does not include Acorns fees. Results do not predict or represent the performance of any Acorns portfolio. Investment results will vary. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/darkparanormal.
Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You may not know this, but May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and it's a reminder that whatever you're going through, you don't have to go through it alone. I know these adverts can feel like another paid voice just trying to sell a product to you, but I know the power of therapy as I'm in it myself. So I'm fully aware that some days feel good and others feel overwhelming, but whatever's keeping you up at night, it's easy to think that you have to figure it all out by yourself. And you probably think other people will cope with this much better than you, but the truth is no one has all the answers and no journey should be alone. Having someone with you to listen, to understand, to support you can make all the difference. And with it being Mental Health Awareness Month, it's an opportunity to check in with you and understand where you are right now. If you've felt overwhelmed, stuck, anxious, unsure, those feelings are more common than we think, and we don't have to navigate them alone. A great thing BetterHelp do is the initial matching work for you so that you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences, and their 12 plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. But if you aren't happy with your match, switch to another therapist anytime from their tailored recommendations. And having served over 6 million people globally, it clearly works. With an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session, based on over 1.7 million client reviews. You don't have to be on this journey alone. Find support and have someone with you in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com. That's betterhelp.com.
It was a few days after that. I visited a small spiritual shop called White Time, not far from my home. Amy came along. She wanted incense for her mum. I wasn't there for anything specific. I just needed, I think, to be somewhere that understood what I was dealing with. There was a side room at the back, and as I stepped into it, the air immediately thickened. Not figuratively, something changed in the space itself. My vision developed a quality I struggled to describe, almost like looking through old film, a faint grain settling over everything. There was a man in the corner. Tall, thin, late 70s, I'd say. Grey hair, pale skin, with a grayness to it, though he was dressed smartly in a brown suit. He was fidgeting with something small and silver-looking in his hands, his eyes fixed somewhere ahead of him at some point. He appeared anxious, agitated, that kind of restlessness that really has no outlet. And then he looked at me. And his face changed instantly. Fury. Not irritation, not hostility. Something deeper and older, twisted into every feature. He was shouting, arms moving, gesturing hard for me to leave. But I couldn't hear a single sound. Not one. Though I felt every word of it, the emotion didn't need sound to reach me. I took a step back, I turned to call for Amy. When I turned back, he was gone. But the room still felt wrong. Dark in a way that had nothing to do with the lighting. I found a bracelet on a nearby shelf. Hematite and obsidian. Both associated with grounding and protection. And as I turned it around in my hands, something inside me settled. A kind of slow return to solid ground. So I bought it, along with sage, sandalwood, and frankincense, and we left. Back in the car, something unexpected happened. A memory appeared in my mind. Not mine. Clear as a photograph. Amy as a young girl. Maybe 5 or 6 at a seaside fair. Holding a pink stuffed rabbit. A man who had won it for her. I described all this to her without thinking and she fell quiet. She said her grandfather had won her that rabbit at Weymouth. She'd been there with her grandparents as a small child. He'd passed away long before Amy and I ever met. I'd never known him. She'd never told me the story before. Amy looked speechless before she asked me how I could possibly know that. I didn't have an answer. All I had was the feeling that had arrived with that memory. That her grandfather had treasured that day completely. Amy nodded slowly and her eyes filled. She said he used to say that often. Then she hugged me and we both took a moment before setting off for home. That bracelet. That bracelet became something I wore constantly. But whatever was around me didn't seem to welcome it. It broke. I replaced it. That one failed too. Literally disintegrating in my hands at a bowling alley. Beads scattering across the floor. So I made my own from the remaining stones. I used a stronger cord. Well, that one vanished entirely from my wrist whilst at a shopping centre. No snapping, no trace, just gone. So, I switched to a ring. Something solid. Something that couldn't just break or disappear. And for a full week, it worked. That sense of being grounded came flushing back. Then, one evening, I was at the kitchen table with my eldest, Harry. He'd been watching 2 paranormal investigators online and mentioned something called the Estes Method, asking if we should try it ourselves. I told him, you can't control what you make contact with. You don't know what you're opening yourself up to. You don't know what might follow you back. And as I said it, the ring shattered on my finger. Not cracked, not slipped off. 3 equal pieces. They dropped onto the table. I put them in my wallet. If I couldn't wear it, I'd carry it. A few weeks later, I'm watching television with Harry. It's late in the evening, the house is quiet, and something in my peripheral vision made me look toward the hallway. The light was wrong. The glow from the fish tank, gone. The ambient light filtering in from the street, gone. The hallway wasn't dim or shadowed. It was absent. It was a darkness that had no business being there. And I stared right into it. Then a hand emerged from the darkness and gripped the doorframe. Not a human hand. The fingers were too long. The joints articulated wrongly, bending back past the point anything should be able to bend. It moved with an awful deliberateness, dragging itself slowly across the wood as though testing the space. And then it withdrew, pulled back into whatever that darkness was. I couldn't move. I couldn't speak. I just sat there, frozen, watching it. Harry paused what he was watching straight away. "Dad, what's wrong?" I didn't answer. I couldn't. I was still staring at the hallway. It wasn't until he said it again, louder this time, "Dad!" that I snapped back. I looked at him and he knew straight away something wasn't right. "What did you see?" I couldn't lie to him. Not about something like that. Since losing his brothers and his best friend, David, he's taken an interest in the paranormal. It's something we've actually started to explore together, in our own way. So I told him. I told him about that darkness. I told him about the hand. I told him about how wrong it felt. He didn't laugh. He didn't dismiss it. He just looked at me and said, "I wish I could see things like you can. I only get little bits now and again. But I'm actually glad I didn't see what you've just saw, because you look really shook up." And I did. But hearing him say that, the way he said it, it broke the tension just enough. Just enough for me to laugh. And I did. I laughed, and for a moment, it felt normal again. And then, out of nowhere, something came into my head. No warning, no build-up, just another thought that wasn't mine. And I spoke out loud. "So why did David put your other friend Tony in a headlock at Avon Beach for riding his green and black mountain bike down there?" Well, Harry looked at me like I just said something that was impossible. "How do you know about that?" I didn't have an answer. I just shrugged and said, "I don't know. It's just come to me." He told me he knew it happened, but not why. So he messaged Tony. Tony replied almost instantly. Not with the reason, but with the sentence, "How does your dad know about that?" After a bit of back and forth, it was confirmed. David had been messing around with Tony. It had all gone too far, hence the headlock. Then I asked about the bike. And that's when it really hit. The green and black bike had been David's. Tony had it now. He was fixing it up to pass on to his younger brother. That wasn't a guess. That wasn't some mere coincidence. And it's not the first time I've had moments like that. I've had these visions before. I've had these visions at work. I've had these visions at David's grave when I visited with Harry. I've had these visions in other situations where the people around me have been genuinely unsettled, but this one felt different in a way that is hard for me to describe. It felt stronger, clearer, more direct. And it's made me realize there's something more to this, something I don't fully yet understand. Though at the same time, I know there's a line that I don't want to cross. You see, I've looked into this enough to know that going too far down that path could open doors I know I can't close. And I don't want to give any power to the Alcea. And I definitely don't want to invite something worse into our lives. The night I finished the very first draft of this email, I stopped writing and I went to sit with Harry. Our Alexa turned on without warning and said quite clearly, "I'm having trouble understanding right now. Please try later." No one had spoken. No one had asked Alexa to do anything. I chose not to react. I didn't want to antagonize whatever might still be close. Because the Alcea are quieter now, but they're not gone. As I end this email, literally now there are small sounds coming from other rooms. There are knocks, taps, the kind of thing you can almost convince yourself is just the house settling. Almost. Thank you for taking the time to read this. Best wishes, Alex. Well, Alex, I want to thank you so much. I know we've had some back and forth on email in relation to your experiences. And I sadly know that is not the end. And it does make me wonder. And for anybody who is wondering why it makes me wonder, I would strongly suggest you go back and listen to Demon on My Shoulder and Demon on My Shoulder, The Return. Simply because you will then understand why it does make me wonder exactly what you are, and I mean that in the nicest way possible, but you yourself say, "I'm not sure what I am." And I do wonder if your interactions with the Alcea may have given you some sort of insight, some sort of paranormal gift. It definitely appears that way. If you're literally receiving other people's memories in your head, that you can describe them perfectly, but you interestingly can't hear what's being said. Otherwise, you'd know why the person was in a headlock, etc. And the way you do describe these images is reminiscent to me of my experiences as a teenager when dabbling with psychometry. Because as a teenager, I'm not going to say or claim I was fully psychic, but what I will say is I had a high success rate in terms of being able to answer certain questions when attempting psychometry with people. So anyone out there who's tried psychometry and believe they've had success, they should also have some sort of recognition of how Alex is describing the visions coming to his head. But the difference is, of course, I and anyone else who's tried psychometry has went out and purposely tried psychometry. These gifts, for want of a better phrase, do appear, and I don't know why this phrase has come to my head. That phrase that we hear when we're young, where your parents are very adamant that you don't hang around with the wrong sort of people because you will pick up their traits. Now, if you believe, and I'm not saying you're wrong, but if you believe that you're surrounded by these entities, the Alcea, and these are spirits or paranormal entities of some phenomena, who's to say the insight and abilities they have aren't rubbing off on you, regardless of how quiet they seem to be at the moment. If they are around you and surrounding you, albeit in silence, maybe there's something to the adage of, if you hang around with people, you end up picking up their traits. I don't know. But what I do know is that I really enjoyed this episode, and I'm going to really enjoy trying to dissect it on After Dark, where I get to talk a bit more freely. But Alex, thank you so much for sending in your experience. And for anyone out there who's listening, if you have your own experience, like Alex, and you want it to be read out on this show or on a minisode or on our Dark Bites episodes, then please go down to the show notes and click on Submit My Experience. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today. And don't forget, if you can, hit that subscribe button. It does help the show out. I've no idea how the algorithms work, but it does. And in the meantime, remember, if you're talking about the paranormal, always leave some of your disbelief at the door. And I'll speak to you next time, right here on The Dark Paranormal.